voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing one nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a train in the background. That's pretty normal. We're a professional operation here. So we got trains, kitchens, people getting water, people handing me coffee. This is the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we only give you the best, the highest quality that we can muster. And today, that is, you know, a couple of guys talking some Mean Green football. You guys excited? I am excited. Today because it's just a habit. Today's show will basically be about the Western Kentucky game. What it means to you and me. To Mr. Greg Godecker here with me, to myself, Adam Martinez. You can find us on Twitter, Mean Green Nation, MGN_breakdown. That's how you can converse with us right now, or you also can hit us up on the chat thing on this Mixler app, or you can go to the little quote-unquote forum section. That's kind of an easier way to do it, I think, going forward. That way, you know, if you hate Twitter or don't understand it or can't see what everybody else is saying, or you don't want to sign up for this Mixler app, which is kind of weird. So there you go. Greg, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. Planes, trains, and automobiles. Go get my donuts, fool.
All right, let's jump right into this thing. What did you think about the game? We lost 55-28, and I just want to go ahead and say that I predicted 55-21. Does that mean I win a prize? No, it doesn't. But, man, I kind of felt good about my predictive skills for a little bit. So I felt a little bit good after feeling bad most of the night.
I was feeling good when the game first started, and then, you know, they announced that we were starting two true freshmen at corners, and then I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, but then, you know, we came out, we got that first stop, and we almost got an interception. And I was like, all right. And I'm telling everybody in my section, see, I told you these guys were going to come out and play tonight. And then we go three and out. So, yeah, I was kind of a little bit frustrated by some of the things that the offense did. But, I mean, they came out, they played hard. Yes, they got blown out. But Western Kentucky, there's no doubt about it, they're the best team in Conference USA. They clearly overlooked North Texas. They clearly didn't play hard at all. They were very sluggish for most of the night. And if they didn't have a really good quarterback, I don't know if they would have been necessarily able to survive that game. It would have been a lot closer. It would have been like a 35-28 because they still could have – they probably could have not thrown the ball all night and still beat us because our defensive line, for some reason, has just gone down the crapper. But, you know, I think you take it what it is. It's a stepping stone. You know, we hit rock bottom, and now we got to build ourselves back up. And the first step was playing a good Western Kentucky team and looking like an FBS-level team. And I thought we did look like that at times.
Yeah, we what did I say? I'm just trying to process everything you said and then also marry it to what I said on Mean Green Nation, where I kind of recapped the game. I totally agree with you saying that if we had a inferior quarterback, that this might have been another 7-point, maybe 14-point game. Like, we would only score late in the game. There's some very clear – like, the first two drives in the second quarter were pretty much all DeMarcus Smith. Him rushing the ball, him making plays outside the pocket, inside the pocket, and then, you know, chucking the ball down the field. Those are all DeMarcus Smith. We don't get those – if there's anybody on our roster, anybody else on our roster on the field. That said, he passed the ball into the ground a couple times. I don't know. We've kind of seen that Andrew McNulty can complete some passes occasionally, but everybody sits close because they know that he can't really test them deep with any kind of consistency or, like, dangerously. You know what I mean? Right. Things have to go right, and then you can hit you deep. Now, DeMarcus Smith is a threat to chuck it over the top of you 60, 70 yards down the field, you know, like in that range where you can't just make it up. And that second touchdown at the end of the first half where he rolled right looking for the Hail Mary, set his feet and chucked it, but 70 yards down the field, you know, to the opposite corner, and hit Kidsey in the corner of the end zone. That the guy that was guarding that area, he didn't believe that the ball could go that far. He was like, no, this is not going over my head. Oh, shit, it's going over my head. And then, you know, he was beat. That's the kind of thing that you can, that, you know, that makes them dangerous. And that was what everybody was like, wow, that was amazing. And, like, in the final drive when everything was wrapped up, and he rolled left, and he avoided, like, all the defensive line, West Kentucky, and then rolled right. And then Marcus Smith for just, it was like a, you know, 8-yard gain, just a pass. But it's an 8-yard gain that erased what would have been an 8-yard sack and kept it going. And we ended up scoring at the end of the game there. That's the kind of thing that we are excited about. All the drops, all the skip balls, the bounce passes. I chalked that up to nervousness and happy feet, and I know Mike Canales mentioned that at halftime. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think he's a 34% passer. I think he's a 50-55% passer. I think he'll get some of those things corrected. I think they're just trying to, you know, basically minimize, make things easy for him. So, you know, he makes a lot of plays outside the pocket. So if you roll him out, you're only telling him that he has to read a third of the field. And then you're also giving him that run pass option. So, you know, he had some of the skip balls. He had some of the balls that were high or, you know, but again, you can't discount the fact that he makes plays at that position where we really haven't had a playmaker there, you know, in a long time with the talents that he possesses. You know, Derek Thompson made some plays at times with his feet, but he was more of, you know, a game manager that could make a play. DeMarcus Smith is more of a just straight-on playmaker that, you know, he's going to make some stupid mistakes, but he's also going to throw a 60-yard bomb, you know, across the field, which probably was, I'd say it was probably even more of like a 70-yard pass and hit the guy, you know. So we haven't had a quarterback like DeMarcus Smith in a long time, and it's going to be interesting to see how Canales, you know, changes the offense around him and how he's able to get DeMarcus to develop over the last 6 games.
Yeah, I mentioned on the recap that it seems to me like the way to run this offense, like the ideal form of this offense as currently constructed, is Jeffrey Wilson up the middle, DeMarcus Smith on some option, like keepers, and play action passes off of those two things. I mean, I'm not saying we go full Navy over here or full Georgia Tech, but we have an explosive running back. Like Jeffrey Wilson, when you give him the ball, I mean, he looks like he can take it. And he had a lot more room to run tonight at certain times. I mean, Western Kentucky was so good that, you know, they scored 2 touchdowns in what was like 4 minutes or something ridiculous like that. And we'll get to the defense in a second. That we kind of, I don't want to say we abandoned the run, but we couldn't really keep running the ball and controlling the game. So we can run, like, against the teams that we're going to face coming up. Marshall has they don't have that explosive offense that they had last season.
You know, but they have a really good defense, and they're better. Their defense is better than Western Kentucky's.
Right, yeah. Oh, I mean, well, we'll get to that, too, because I think Western Kentucky's defense is good. I think a lot of their stats are padded. They were holding us below their, you know, average, and we only barely just got to, you know, the average numbers at you know, in the last, like, 3 drives. To kind of pad that a little bit. And that's happened to a lot of teams. They throw their backups out there, Western Kentucky, just, you know, they start allowing yards and, you know, some garbage time touchdowns against them when they've won this game. They've averaged a 20-point lead at halftime, right? Right. Marshall has a good defense. So that means we got to minimize mistakes. no more of these bobbled snaps. And that was a lot of the center there, you know, like bouncing the ball to DeMarcus, throwing it to his shoelaces. I know you can't get it there, like, right on his hands every single time, but, I mean, you can't be, you know, chucking it at his foot. Bad snaps, bad handles by DeMarcus Smith. Some sky passes, those are the ones that you get intercepted. And drive-killing bounce passes, those are bad. He's got to improve on that. I agree that I think he's going to be better on that going forward. But, yeah, this we need to run the ball a lot. We should average 200 yards a game. We barely creeped over that. A lot of that was, again, DeMarcus Smith scrambling. I'd like to see some of those on design runs like he was doing on the drive where we scored the touchdown to T. Goree. By the way, that was a great catch.
It was an amazing catch. Yeah, you know, you look at Jeffrey Wilson. He only had 13 carries for 91 yards against Western Kentucky. You'd like to see those carries probably get up around 20 and DeMarcus threw 35 passes, and you'd probably like to see that go down. But I don't know if you're going to, because I think some of the stuff that we ran towards the end of the game, the five wide receivers, I think we're going to see a lot more of those types of looks from Canales, because, you know, DeMarcus is a good runner. He wants to spread the field and get his playmakers out in space and then allow for, you know, DeMarcus to have those quarterback draws or design running plays. But I agree. I think it should be a lot of Jeffrey Wilson. You know, take DeMarcus Smith, doesn't really need to carry it 16 times a game, probably more like 10 times a game. You want to tell him to slide a little bit more, to stop taking all the shots that he does.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, from a game, coming off a game like Portland State where we saw the team just completely, you know, not even play with any heart. To see a guy, like, you know, he came out there and he laid it on the line. So I think that was kind of important to see that, to show his teammates that, you know, hey, I'm not some guy that's going through the motions out here that thinks I have talent. I'm going to use my talent. And I thought he accepted the coaching well on the sidelines. I thought he was being interactive with his teammates, trying to get a feel for what was going on. I love the fact that how Coach Canales was coaching him up every time he'd walk off the field. You know, he'd get hot with him. He'd yell at him. You know, he'd be very animated. But at the end of every one of their conversations, you know, the hand would go around his back, and, you know, he'd tap him on the head. And that's what you like to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, like, the seed of all that, the thing that we really like, it just seems like a couple people that actually care, you know? And that's great, because a lot of fans are frustrated. And I think the real reason that nobody wanted to go to the game was that they felt like nobody cared. You know, you're like, obviously you can't care if you're getting beat 66-7, right? Excuse me. I was dying there for a second. So to see, like, Mike Canales, again, One of his strengths is his, like, enthusiasm. I gotta say that social media ban didn't really go over too well. I mean, I still saw some people tweeted.
No. Yeah, but they weren't suspended for that. So.
Yeah, there were some suspensions for breaking team rules. There's definitely a new regime running this place, but it's not Charlie Strong. Hey, you break my rules, you're getting off the team. Okay, I don't really know what to make of it, but mostly I just want to see, you know, the football team playing good football the rest of the way. I still think they can beat UTEP. They can definitely beat UTSA. They can maybe squeak out something against Marshall, because Marshall doesn't have an amazing offense. But I mean, you know, that's one of those games that, like, it's not like a Western Kentucky game. But before we start predicting the rest of the season, let's talk about our defense. That's pretty bad. Well, let me see, just some numbers here. The fifth game in six that we allowed over 200 yards rushing. It was the fourth in six games that we allowed over 300 yard passing. It was the third game in five that we allowed 49 plus points. And really, Western Kentucky could have kept scoring if they wanted. They put in the third string quarterback out there. And somewhere, I think their second string running back was still scoring. Wales had 193 yards, and he sat down. We came in averaging 547 yards allowed, and that's on 369 plays. So it's like 7.42 yards per play. Western Kentucky came in and averaged 8.2, 683 yards on 82 plays. It was the second straight 670-yard-plus game and the third straight 8-plus yards per play allowed. So what does all that mean? It means that we are getting gashed. And you can kind of see if you're watching in these games that the lines are getting, you know, blown back, and the running backs have acres of space to make a move. And Keyshawn McClain is the only one making tackles back there.
Yeah, the defensive line has been completely disappointed me. I thought that they were going to be our best unit because I thought that we had some good depth there. We had some good, talent to make some plays, but they're just not getting off of blocks, and they're just getting, you know, pushed off the ball, and the linebackers are getting taken out because, you know, the defensive line isn't getting off blocks and they're not clogging stuff up. I think if the defensive line was playing better, if they were able to, not necessarily win the line of scrimmage, but if they were able to keep it an even battle, I think guys like Anthony Wallace and Fred Scott have shown that they can make a play in the backfield when somebody's, you know, when the 300-pound guy isn't in their face. You know, when they're allowed to have some space to roam, they can make plays. The secondary is just, I mean, I agree with the move to start playing Nate Brooks and Ashton Preston. To just go true freshmen and let them take their lumps out there. Let them get burned. Let them see some, you know, good wide receivers. That's a tough team to start against Western Kentucky with an experienced wide receiving crew, an NFL caliber quarterback. I mean, you're going to get burned a lot by that team, especially, you know, Brohm, the coach, a good offensive minded coach. So I knew they were going to take advantage of those guys, but I came back to thinking that, you know, you wrote the article last year about the worst, you know, offensive year in school history. We might be experiencing the worst defensive year that we've ever seen at North Texas. Even under the Dodge years, we're approaching getting worse than that. We probably are already past it at this point.
Yeah, I don't like to write those, this is the worst ever, until we get to, like, later in the season. I wrote that other one right before the UTSA game, which is our final game of the season, just because, I mean, we felt it. We're like, this is bad, dude. This is real bad. And so then I looked at the numbers. I'm like, how bad has it been? Well, it was the worst that we've had in, you know, 7 years. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is pretty much going to be the worst defensive season, unless things improve. And that's what, I don't want to look at the numbers now because I want to see it improve. But so far, it's bad. We're giving up 500 yards a game. And it's against teams that are, like, taking their foot off the gas. It's not like we're playing these, you know, 55, 54, you know, double overtime games where, well, it's 500 yards, but you got to see it's a crazy game. Yeah, we're not in this in these games. Western Kentucky could have kept going if, you know, the game were closer.
Yeah, I guarantee they wouldn't get 70, and they didn't get 70. Nailed it.
Yeah, so there's been pressure. There's been talk about Chris Kosh and his future here. Unless there's something, like, obviously mitigating in his performance and his coaching, like, well, I couldn't do it because this, this, and this. I really don't see how he keeps his job here because, I mean, this is bad. This is like, it's not even like, well, you know, we have injuries, so that's why we're getting beat over the top, or there's like, there's one or two things that are really preventing us from being really good. It's like, they just look bad all over.
Yeah, I don't really foresee maybe one person staying on this coaching staff when the next coach is hired. So, yeah, I just don't know what Kosh is thinking or what he's doing with the defense. I mean, at some point, you just got to throw caution to the wind and just say, you know, screw it. You know, we're blitzing everybody. We're doing something. We're running some run blitzes. You got to do something to try and stop them. You just can't sit there. It's just like they just sit back and they continuously let it happen. You know, they just let the other team gain 5-6 yards at a time so that they don't give up the big play. But they still give up the big play anyways. So it's not like we're keeping people in front of us. And that's the most disappointing thing is just, You sit there and you're like, okay, we're going to get a stop. You know, it's third down on the one play where, you know, they got Western Kentucky got offensive pass interference on the third down, and it was an incomplete pass. I was sitting there in the stands and I was saying, don't take the penalty, just decline it. Let them try the field goal from where they are, because I'm not going to give Western Kentucky's quarterback, like I said, an NFL caliber guy, another chance on third down against our defense. And the dude almost had a 26-yard pass for a first down. I mean, if that pass was a little bit more accurate, he probably would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really even know like how to improve on it. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's, I will forgive him. Say, all right, we have we got some freshman corners out there, Ashton Preston playing a lot of time, and maybe he wasn't really going to be in the plan so much. At the beginning of the season, and so he's getting beat over the top, or maybe he's not, you know, like he's getting exposed. That's to be expected. You're a freshman corner, unless you are just, you know, super talented, and probably even if you are super talented, you're still going to get beat by some college level seniors, you know, like that's just the way to
go. Right.
You know that's going to happen, but you're going to make some plays, and he's made some okay plays. And like, was it Nate Brooks? Didn't he almost get an interception twice? Like, the ball hit him right in the hands. I mean,
yeah, I thought he played well.
Yeah, like, but you know, you're a freshman. You're gonna get beat. You're not gonna, you know, like, you got some savvy, well coached guys, you know, going against you, as you mentioned. So, I don't hold that against Chris Kosh because he lost Kenny Byers to begin the season. Kenny Byers is not only one of our best corners, but he is probably our best open field tackler, you know, like in space, just like that. And you know, so we're missing some of that. And our corners now haven't been doing great making these tackles. Definitely not to the level of Kenny Byers. But, you know, as you said, like that defensive line is just, I mean, they've regressed very bad. And I was giving them benefit of the doubt after the SMU game. I was saying, you know what? The offense is not really doing anything. They're not supporting them. That's why they got gashed in that fourth quarter. But it's looking more and more like the anomaly was the first three quarters. And, you know, like their true selves were the fourth quarter team that allowed Matt Davis to run right up the middle, like 50 yards, and score a touchdown. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think there's two things, you know, that could possibly help the defense, and they're both offense. We can either score more points or we can stay on the field longer and keep our defense off the field. Those are really the only two things that I think that could help our defense right now, because they're just going to have to – somebody's just going to have to step up and make a play on defense. That's just it.
Yeah, and I think it's really – it's like field position, right? I mean, that – when you give Western Kentucky the ball at the 50-yard line or closer, I mean, obviously, you know, it sounds stupid. Like, when you give them the ball close to the goal line, they might score a touchdown. But, I mean, that's really it. You give them the ball, any team, the ball, you know, from, like, their 40 to our end zone, you know, you increase the likelihood that they're going to score. They can hit you on a deep play, you know, one of these two things. You keep them further back, and I know Western Kentucky, like, drove from the 9 or something like that. But the longer drives that we had to give them, right, the longer they had to go, the more chance that they could make a mistake. You know, they threw an interception after a long drive. They got turnover on downs. Or, well, that was the same one. That was the interception one. But we forced them into kicking field goals a couple times, you know. That... yeah, it's. I agree with you. It's scoring more points, and it's moving the ball. Like, even if we get this up-tempo thing, as long as we move the ball, like, some of our best defensive stands came after we actually moved the ball a little bit, even though we had to punt. It was like first downs, we have to punt, kind of pin them deep, make them drive, make them use up more plays. Even if they get 13-play drive down the field, they got to go into the bag of tricks, you know? You get to see a little bit more. You make them execute. So, yeah, I mean, but, you know, again, that's hoping everything goes perfectly there.
Right.
I don't know. Here's what I don't want to see against Marshall. I don't want to see Marshall break out of their funk. They're only averaging, like, something like 4.5 yards a play. And then come out and get something like, you know, 6 to 8 yards of play where, you know, all of a sudden their whole team looks like Marshall's 2014.
They're averaging 5 yards a play. It's like 4.95. So, I mean, they still have Devin Johnson, the good running back from last year. And obviously he's going to be the focal point against us. They're going to see what everybody else has done.
Yeah.
And they're going to go back to that. And then they had Michael Birdsong, their JUCO quarterback, playing for at least 2 games. And then they benched him because he wasn't getting it done. And they went to another kid. I think he's like a sophomore. He may be a freshman, a redshirt freshman. I don't know. His name's Chase Litton, and he's throwing, since he's replaced Birdsong after the first 2 games, he's throwing 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and like 200 yards a game. So he's playing better. But, I mean, the thing with Marshall is their defense is, you know, they have like the best scoring defense in Conference USA right now.
Yeah.
And they're ranked in like the top 5 in yards and, you know, rushing yards allowed and all that other stuff. So it's going to be a step up in competition. So I want to see, you know, I don't know if our offense can put up 28 points against their defense, but I want to see if we can, if our defense can hold them to under, you know, 30 points. Well, maybe not 30. Let's start with 40. Let's, you know, we got to improve somewhere.
Yeah, I'll say that they haven't really played a murderer's row. They, you know, beat Purdue, not very good. Purdue had 31 against them. Southern Miss put 49 on us, and they held them to 10. They won 31-10. They beat Ohio. They lost to Ohio, and Ohio scored 21. They beat Norfolk State. They beat Kent State in double OT. Kent State had 29. They beat Old Dominion, who's not very good, held them to 7. Today they play Florida Atlantic, who's not, you know, the highest scoring team. And they play at 11 a.m. So you get a little chance to see what Marshall has today if you want to, you know, scout your opponent. That's where you can do that. Hey, what was this? The spread was, 33 last week?
Yeah, it was 32.5. It was the first game that we covered year. I know, odds makers were, you know, sweating out there for a second. It opened at like 24, and then it got bet all the way up to 33.
Yeah, and, I saw that. So if you got in early, right? What was I going to say? All right, so how do you fix the defense? Do you just really blitz more? I mean, you got freshman corners out there. Nobody likes to blitz with freshman quarters. Corners. I mean, you know, you're really just begging them to just toss it over the top to you, give you a little double move, pick up the blitz or something like that, and hit you with a 75-yard TD. How would you fix this defense? How do you, I mean, you can't, because defensive line is where it all begins. If they're not playing well, the defense is not playing well, and as you can see, if they can run, getting 6-7 yards a carry, then you pretty much have no hope, and you're just basically wishing that they fumble, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how do you, Mr. Greg O'Dicker, how would you fix this thing?
I think you have to be more aggressive. That's the only way. I don't foresee some, you know, magical thing happening because a player all of a sudden gets in the lineup or, you know, they're going to be bad the rest of the year regardless. So why not just be more aggressive? Even if you're going to eventually give up a touchdown, you know, why not just, I mean, blitz, and maybe you get lucky and you get to the quarterback, or you take a shot. You know, the quarterback takes some shots, or he's not sure what that blitz looks like. I just find, just be more aggressive. I think that's the only thing that's left to do. We've been conservative. We've sat back, you know, 10 yards off the ball with our corners. But let's let them get bump and run man coverage or get up on people, and let's let them learn. Let's see what they can do. Same thing with the offense. You let your playmakers make some plays. Well, let's find out if we have any playmakers on defense, and let's try and, you know, plug people in and you know, send them on a blitz, or, you know, put them on the defensive line or anything. You know, if you're a senior that's out there, you know, play hard. Or I saw Chris Polk, you know, he was kind of loafing, trying to chase after the quarterback. I mean, I was kind of expecting him to be, you know, a third down pass rush guy. And I haven't seen him sniff the quarterback all year. I haven't
seen really. You mean Chad Polk, right? Chad?
Yeah, Chad Polk. Sorry about that. No. I mean, we really haven't had many. We haven't gotten a lot of pressure on the quarterback. You know, when your defensive line can't win, you have to blitz. And that, you know, exposes it, your coverages in the back. But at this point, do we have any other choice?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I'm saying. I agree. I think that's the only thing you could do. Nobody ever wants to play. Obviously, you'd like to just, you know, rush the quarterback and stop the run with four down linemen. But right. Once you can't do that, you gotta think of something else. And I agree that our ideas have been lacking in these first six games. So I'd like to see more of that against Marshall. I think, like I said, I like this matchup because Marshall isn't super explosive. That's kind of just, you know, explain the context here. We're coming up. This is a short week. You get a new coach. Sunday through Thursday. That's not enough time to, one, break in a new starting quarterback, two, break in a new coach, even though he's been there. I mean, he's changing things, meanwhile, the whole time. And, you know, prepare for the best team in Conference USA. Like, that was a tough ask, you know?
It was.
And that they that's why I'm kind of feeling good about the whole thing. 28 points, and I know 14 of those were garbage time points, but they ended the half, you know, they by scoring 14, and what did Kentucky have? They had 35, is it
34,
right. So they were kind of in the game. 34-14, they're kind of in the game. That was not terrible. Mm-hmm. That was about what I expected North Texas to be at, you know, in the beginning of the season. I figured Western Kentucky would blow us out because they're a really good team, and, you know, we needed good things to happen. We needed luck to fall our way to compete. So that's good. Like you said, it's a stepping stone. We hit rock bottom against Portland State. We're kind of back to being a normal Conference USA team that would get beat by the best team in the conference handily at home. Okay, so that's fine. Now next, can we beat Marshall? Yes, they are a beatable team. We need the defense to step up. We need the offense to score some points, 28 points. I wish I could find – I can never find – there was a – Nick Saban hands out, like, his goals for the offense, right, before the season. Mm-hmm. He's like, offense, you need to score 30 points a game. You know, you need to average, you know, five explosive plays, you know, each half or whatever like that. That's 20 plus. And so I think about that every once in a while. And I think, is 28 points enough to win the game? It's right on the edge, you know, especially in modern college football. You like to see like 30, 31 plus. But 28 points should be enough to win a game. It would say 55% of the time. So the offense can get somewhere around there. That's all we need, you know, a few explosive plays in the game. And that's where DeMarcus Smith comes in. That 60, 70-yard, was really 50-yard officially. But you know, like you said, 70 yards in the air, touchdown strike. That's great. That's what we need. 20-yard touchdown pass to Tego Ree. That's an inexplosive play. I don't know if off the top of my head if Jeffrey Wilson broke 20, but he had like some 8 to 10, 12-yard runs.
He had some 15-yard runs. I think you have a 20-yard pass and then like a 15-yard run.
There you go. So, like, they're right on the edge, you know, 13 to 15-yard run. Those are good plays. We can build on that. That's good. That's where you check off the boxes. These are – the offense is doing things well. Yards per play, we got to get that up. And that means no more incompletes. That means no more stuff. That means no more fumbles. Turnovers, no, we got one turnover battle. That means taking care of the football. I think the offense is closer to being where we need them to be than the defense. Defense,
absolutely.
You gotta get off the field, get some three and outs, get some turnovers. And like you said, that means being more aggressive. We only had one interception this season, and that was, you know, Thursday night.
And yeah, we need to force some more turnovers. But I'm going to disagree with you about 28 being enough to win games. I think it's got to be – I think you're looking at 32 points per game is what you'd like to get at. Now, with our defense,
yeah,
40, 42. Even against Marshall, a team that's struggling on offense, they're putting up 30 points a game on teams that are better defensively than us. So I just don't see it. I don't like the matchup like you do because Marshall plays really good defense. And that's what scares me going into this game with a guy. You know, I think our offense won't have the type of game that they had against Western Kentucky. I think they're going to They might look better on the field, better organized, but I think the fact that Marshall's defense is better is going to make our offense probably struggle some.
Yeah, all right. I mean, like I said, I like this matchup because they're not, you know, an offensive juggernaut. I like that matchup. And so, you know, Marshall's defense aside, we don't, you know, we're not going to get just destroyed off the field by a well-oiled machine. You know what I mean? That's what kind of scares me. Like, you know, you look at Portland State. They can score. You know, like you said, they can run. And also, we are getting ready to quit on our coach. Western Kentucky is an offensive machine. They can score against anybody. And against a defense that's struggling, that has injuries to the secondary. I mean, we are just, you know, we're just, we're like the kid brother. Like, okay, we're just going to dunk all over you right now, you know. That's why I like the Marshall thing. And then, especially the time. We got DeMarcus Smith getting ready to get his first full week as starting quarterback in practice. And then he has a couple days also, you know. He has a little extra time. Everybody has some extra time to prepare, to, you know, get all of everything that happened in the first 6 weeks of the season outside their brains and to really focus, you know.
The thing that I thought that was funny about Thursday night was these guys at Western Kentucky, like the seniors, the guys that know DeMarcus Smith, there had to be guys on defense that knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Were they shocked by the fact that how successful he was as a runner or something? Because they clearly, they were not prepared. The coaching staff wasn't prepared for it. The players, you know, they didn't honor his ability to run. So did I was kind of shocked by it. You know, if any team should have been prepared and knowing DeMarcus Smith, it was the one that we just faced. Well, now, granted, you know, Marshall's going to have a whole week now to prepare, and they're obviously going to have to prepare to shut down DeMarcus. But that should open up some, you know, Jeffrey Wilson runs.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of that was like them thinking, you know what, we'll give DeMarcus Smith 15 yards because we don't think that he can lead the offense methodically down the field. But we don't want him to hit us over the top with that cannon arm of his. So maybe they were playing back and being a little conservative and waiting for, you know, his inexperience, knowing the entire offense, or he's like, you know, because he doesn't know the whole playbook, everybody says. Maybe they're like, all right, he's going to mess up somewhere. And we'd rather bet on that than say, all right, let's jump up and pick him up on a, it's a, you know, like, let's do some, what am I, there's a word for it. Let's spy him and then, you know, hope that he doesn't chuck it over the top on us. Maybe that was it. That's what I kind of leaned towards. And, yeah, that's exactly why I say we build the offense around Jeffrey Wilson, a little DeMarcus Smith running, and play action passes over the top. We have speedy wide receivers. Carlos Harris can run. Tego Ree can run. Darvin Kidzie can run. You know? That's great. I'd like to see that rather than, you know, throwing a 4 yard out and then hoping that they break a tackle. Sure, we're going to need some of that, but the underneath stuff, let's make those runs, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate Randy Cross. I'm glad Randy Cross is like off to like the CBS. He used to be like a lead announcer on like the CBS NFL games. He's awful, man. I don't like listening to him. He's bad.
Here's Adam in the Saturday morning drinking a mimosa over there saying, by the way, I hate Randy Cross. Man is just such an asshole.
Yeah, I look, look at you. When my wife gives me a mimosa, what am I supposed to do, man? Huh? Not drink it? Huh? I gotta drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so refreshing. So refreshing, ladies and gentlemen. What else is on the agenda? Mean Green Soccer won 2-1 last night against Middle Tennessee. Still undefeated in Conference USA play. These ladies are good. They're real good. Everything's shaping up good. Well, Sunday they play UAB at 1 p.m. at home. Y'all go check that out. Should be fun. Fun times. Is it still hot up there?
No, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful weekend. Being the 80s will be the highs. So, yeah, it was like 60 this morning when we woke up, got the windows open, doors open. My wife's bundled up over there on the couch in a blanket saying it's too cold. So, yeah. Good times.
It's finally fall. That's good. Everybody should go out, go check out the women's soccer team. They are really good. I think I might have mentioned before that Rachel Holden, as a freshman, she was like our leading scorer. I think she had 8 goals that season. I'm going off the top of my head right now. And last season, she, I mean, they kind of focused on her a little bit, so the leading scorer was number 10. But, you know, she still made plays. She made plays, like, kind of on the wing. This season, she's back to scoring form. She has 8 leading our goal charts. And she's kind of scoring. She's like, interchanging. She plays out in the wing because she has speed. She kind of dressed into center forward, scored some goals. She scored a lot of poaching-type goals this season, flying in. Heading in some goals off some beautiful crosses from the wingers, some of the fullbacks overlapping. It's good stuff. We play some good soccer. Maybe a little too many long balls, like hopeful balls into the box. Like we were just like lofting into the Torres chick, and some of that is I don't really like that. It's a little too hopeful for me. I'd rather like a nice possession game. But we're trying to take advantage of our speed because we're really fast and we can counterattack really well. And so it's understandable, although maybe a little too loose with the ball. There it is. Hot Sports Opinions on our Mean Green soccer team who's undefeated. No, they are defeated. I mean, they're unbeaten in conference play.
Very nice. Yeah. I'll try and update the coaching search tracker on Monday. I'm still waiting on a few guys to give me back some information, but I know some guys won't read it, and then some guys that are listening to this, so we'll just share some of the information. You know, I've been reaching out to sources around college football programs that, you know, we want player or coaches from. I've talked to some coaches too, and basically everybody was hot on Kendall Briles, but from my Baylor guys that are close to the football team there, they say that he won't be leaving to come to North Texas. So that's basically they were saying that a little bit too toxic of a situation for him, too much of a project. Not sure about the athletic director. They said that he would leave for a higher up job. They mentioned like if Memphis came available, he might be interested in that. But ultimately they talked about him being groomed to replace his dad, Art Briles, there. So sticking it out long-term there. We reached out to some people in Houston and they said that Applewhite would be interested in the North Texas job. But again, that situation there is also fluid because Herman's a good coach. So he may get a Power 5 offer. He's been mentioned with the Maryland job. So Applewhite may be one of those guys that's considered to replace Herman in Houston. So you don't know that. But obviously they said that Applewhite is, you know, looking to progress his career and he'd be interested in the opening. So that's good because a lot of people like him. Brad Smiley, a guy at Trinity Valley, we reached out to him and, you know, he contacted us back and he had a really nice email that I thought he wrote. And it sounded like he would be interested in the job, but obviously not until the season's over. But he had some question marks, I think, about the athletic director and the way that he handled the firing of McCartney. And I think a lot of guys, we're going to get into that situation of where they're not sure of how the athletic director is handling things. We reached out and we talked to about Willie Fritz with the Georgia Southern, and someone close to their football program said that they didn't think that he would leave to go to North Texas, just feeling that, again, the word toxic was thrown up in the air when talking about North Texas. And I know Willie Fritz was high on my list, high on a lot of people's list, saying that he feels comfortable at Georgia Southern and obviously may wait for a better job. You know, again, this could all change, but I just wanted to let you guys know that, hey, we're reaching out there and we're trying to find out some information about the coaching search. And, you know, that's kind of the thing that is going on. Now, the athletic director, you know, he wrote me a nice 1,100-word email yesterday. You know, everybody's been sending letters to the president. Well, you know, I've been collecting reports of all kinds of information, and I compiled it all, and I sent those kinds of questions to the president. And apparently he forwarded it on to the athletic director to answer some of my concerns. Now, I'm not going to share what the reports were at this time, but basically, the athletic director took It had to probably take him at least 2 hours to write the email. I don't know, you know. 1,100 words. That's like writing a book. So he took the time to tell me basically his bio and his story of everything that he's done in North Texas. Well, I've done this, and yeah, some players don't like me, but, you know, a lot of people like me. I haven't heard one person say that they like the athletic director. I don't know about you, but that's just me. And then basically he took the time to say that, you know, it's not a toxic situation, and there's plenty of people interested in the North Texas job, and that we wouldn't hear about it anyways. So, yeah, I thought he could have been spending that time more wisely on searching for a coach rather than contacting a little peon like myself. Apparently, I pushed a button there.
The whole exchange made me chuckle. I did catch the email you forwarded on to me. I would say, like, I guess it's good, maybe, that he's contacting, you know, the peons, right? Us, we peons. Hey, guys, pat on the head. Appreciate your support. Let me set you straight. Then I've written a terse email occasionally, so I can't say that, you know, I'm above doing it. But it's probably best not to write those kinds of emails to say, hey, I tell you what, I've actually done a good job. Let me tell you this and that. There's been examples of this throughout college football, like the guy that got fired from Michigan, the guy that got fired from Texas, maybe sending out some emails that they regret. So maybe don't do that if you're an athletic director. Just a free tip from your friendly folks at MeanGreenNation.com.
Adam's over there thinking, you know, God, this guy Greg, he's going to get my site blackballed from North Texas, and he'll be like, that guy is an asshole.
No, I mean, you know, I've already just a quick bet. Some of you may know, like, so I'm down here in San Antonio, right? I'm in grad school at UTSA. I was going to say University of Texas, San Antonio. And so like when I moved down here, this is, you know, way back when, you know, like I was like, well, it's going to be, I love college football. It's kind of cool that UTC is going to be joining like the WAC or whatever it is. So maybe I'll follow them so I can, I'm here, you know, I get to go to the games, I get tickets. Wouldn't it be great if we're in the same conference? And so I joined it. I had a little blog and a guy joined the blog too. You know, I was going to just blog about college football because I like college football. And it's my hometown, whatever. And so we called it originally Coker Chronicles, the blog. And Larry Coker didn't like that. So Lynn Hickey, the AD, called me up. We had, she gave me basically, hey, we're going to get our lawyers on you if you continue to call it Coker Chronicles. So it's not, it wouldn't be the first time that I had an athletic director sit me down. Hopefully, if Rick Villarreal were to give us a scolding, he'd at least buy me some tacos from a fancy restaurant, just like Lynn Hickey did. Because, I mean, you know, that's all we do is compare Lynn Hickey to Rick Villarreal, right? And so that would be another comparison. That's another data point, right? Who buys the better meal while they're scolding me? So, yeah.
If RV wants to come out and he wants to scold us, to scold our website, the backing that's going to be supporting Mean Green Nation will just be, I mean, unsurmounted. You can't, there would be plenty of people that would be willing to just say, I stand behind Mean Green Nation. The support would be overwhelming. So I don't think he really wants to get in that in a time of crisis that he's in right now. You know, obviously he's fighting for his job. So it would be pretty hilarious. And like I said, I find the whole thing kind of funny like you did. I got when I first got the email and I, you know, started scrolling, I was like, holy shit, man, this guy wrote me a book. You know, and I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it turns out people transcribe our podcasts and they use them when arguing with our points that we made. So, you know, just be careful of what you say, sir.
All right, I'll try. There you go. There's my boss, Adam, over there saying you need to tone it down.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. I mean, look. We've never made a secret. We're not credentialed media people. We don't do this for a living. That'd be nice, you know, because we go to work and we write some bloggy time stuff and we do some podcasts and we have a good time with it because this is our thing. But I mean, we're not stupid, also, and we're not. You know, I said we're not the cheaters, the peons, whatever. We're just people that enjoy our football team, enjoy our university. I think it's great. Yeah. I mean, it's good that you've been reaching out. I like that. I like everything that you've done. And I can't say that, like I said, my biggest criticism is for our athletic director. Like, maybe don't send those emails out, dude. Don't send those kind of emails out. What are you doing?
I appreciate the fact that it got read by somebody, and obviously that we're pushing some buttons up there. So, you know, people, I encourage you to voice your opinion. And that's, you know, we go to the blog stream and we go to the podcast stream to voice our opinion. And sometimes you guys send us your opinion and we voice those concerns. You know, we're men of the people. One voice for Mean Green Nation, you know.
You know, it's funny. I've seen a lot more people use, like, I kind of did it ironic when I first named the site, kind of like tongue-in-cheek, because really our fan base doesn't really extend too far out of Texas, right? It's a little bit spread out a little bit. And so I thought it was funny. I was like, yeah, we're like Mean Green Nation. Now there's a backlash on like anybody that calls anything nation. You know, they're like, whatever nation, Spurs nation, you know, Mavs nation. They're like, oh, everyone's everything about being a nation. It's stupid. And so then we kind of get some of this backlash too. But we've been, I think I've been this name since 2009. And then also, the other thing is that, like, I noticed a lot of, like, in official emails, there's a lot of nation thing. They're like, hey, Mean Green Nation, make sure you make it out to the alumni event, you know, whatever. And I was like, so I kind of get confused sometimes because I read it and I'm like, oh, is that, they meant, like, everybody. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that
you're not that special yet.
No, but, like, you just reminded me that, yeah, I mean, the thing is, we do this because nobody else is doing it. You know, there's no North Texas Mean Green Network that we can listen to 24/7 obsessively. The local sports stations will mention North Texas like really high. It's like, oh, they went to a bowl game, so good for them. And back to whatever else. Or they'll say, oh, the football team up north just got hammered by Portland State. So back to whatever else we're talking about, you know? So, I mean, the only places that you're getting this kind of stuff is, like, fan-generated anyway, because, I mean, you got Brett Vito, and that's really it. That's his whole gig. And then you got, like, Harry's board. You got our site, our podcast, you know, and our rants on Twitter. And then that's it. I know there's, like, Mean and Green, freeforums.org. That's over there. That's a lot of cast-offs from GoMeanGreen.com. But they're over there talking, so you can go join that. And that's pretty much it. Like, I do a search every now and then, like, who else is talking about North Texas? Where are they talking about it? Are we missing out on some good conversations? Are there some, like, people out there? You got to wave them over. Come here. We have a community. You don't have to be alone.
I forgot to mention one name with the football. Chris Thompson, I know he was like a coach at Abilene Christian. He's an offensive line coach at Arizona State now. He is interested in the job. Whether or not he gets an interview or not, he's a guy that has interest in the North Texas job. So I know some people have mentioned him out, tossed around his name. So he's a guy. And another guy was Houston Nutt. He was wearing the green tie, the green handkerchief. you know, Rick Neuheisel, who knows him, on XM Sirius Radio the other day, threw out his name for the job. Houston Nutt lives 20 miles from Denton. So I'm not advocating that he should get the job. I think you should interview a guy like that, or you should at least bring him in to assess the program. Because maybe he could tell the search committee what they should be looking for. They may have a totally different idea. He comes in and opens their eyes as to how people really view North Texas, or, you know, the type of coach you should maybe go after. So I think it can't hurt to bring in as many people as you can to interview. So I'm sorry to kind of get off track there, but I just remember those two guys.
No, that's fine. Speaking of the way people see North Texas, Chip Kelly, Chip Kelly was just saying, yeah, North Texas, whatever. He was mostly talking about the movie, because the movie, they're North Texas State Armadillos. And, I mean, here's the thing, or they're Texas State Armadillos. The worst thing that we did was allow them to use that movie to use our uniforms, our stadium, and our town, and call themselves Texas State. Because people saw the movie, like casual people see the movie. They don't know who's who. You know, I remember when I was a kid, and I was like, why is there a Texas and a Texas ATM? Like, what is that? You know, like, what is, you know, I didn't understand the difference. Like, what is the deal here? And so you hear people say stuff, you don't know what it means, and all gets big jumbled bag, and you pull it out, and you're like, the Texas, North Texas State Armadillos, right? Is that a thing? It really means that we need to win more games. That's really it.
Right.
You win more games, like you win, the Boise State wins games. They're not like, where's even Boise? Is Boise even a state? No, that doesn't happen. You're like, oh yeah, Boise State Broncos, they're out there winning games. They beat Oklahoma in a bowl game. You know, then they're a real team. Like, all these teams would sound ridiculous. Directional schools, they'll, you know, state school, they all sound ridiculous unless they're winning teams, unless they're winning programs, and then you take them seriously.
Right.
So, you know, whatever. Don't get up in arms about Chip Kelly just throwing that out there. It is kind of funny to agree with Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skip Bayless. I gotta take a second to defend my North Texas fans from Mean Green. So thank you, Skip Bayless. Also, please, both you and Stephen A. Smith, please retire from TV and everything. Please, thanks.
I'll extend Skip Bayless an invitation to join our show anytime that he wants. You know, obviously he's got people that listen to North Texas stuff. So hey, come on the show, Skip. I'll debate you.
Maybe. All right, there you go. So yeah, anything? You guys have any feedback for us? But here's the thing, you know, like we take feedback too. You got some hot sports opinions about us? Like, oh my god, these technical difficulties are killing me, guys. Send them in. podcast@meangreennation.com. Unlike some other folks, we can take criticism. And unlike some other folks, maybe we won't just, you know, get real defensive. Thanks for the couple people that have tried out the quote-unquote forum. Like I said, I kind of like it as a commenting system because it kind of gets your stuff on the record. I don't really like the WordPress comments. We use WordPress to do Mean Green Nation. I don't like WordPress comments. I like this as a commenting system. It's not really a forum. Like, I'm not really checking it and getting post links like to other people's articles and things like that. You can use it if you want. It's mostly as like a test thing because of the other podcasts that I use. That I do or did. Incisive Pass is a soccer podcast that is kind of on pause right now. And DerangedPenguin.com, or Deranged Penguin podcast. I kind of want like a whole place for everybody to converse because much like this one, there's a lot of different ways people get at us. And that's kind of hard to maintain a bunch of different conversations all the time. So I like Discourse, which is the software that runs that one, because it's modern. It's not like your typical message board stuff. So thanks to the people that have tried it out. Please, if you haven't, go try it out. And then I think that's all the advertising that I wanted to do about that right now. Greg, do you have a breakdown coming this week?
Yeah, we'll do one on Marshall.
All right, cool.
We'll break it down for you guys.
Break it down.
We'll tell you how bad it will be or it won't be.
I mean, so I think we'd probably go back. This is another thing we've kind of slacked on. We've been too busy. It's kind of like measuring our picks, right? I know I was giving you a hard time because I got closer on the pick than you did. But I think for a couple, I picked wins over like SMU, and you're like, dude, they're going to lose. And then I picked a win over Rice, and you're like, whatever, Adam. So we should tally them up and figure out what's what.
So did you want to pick some games today?
Yes.
Before we go?
Yes, let's do that. This week in Conference USA, let's start with the early games. We have 3 11 o'clock games. FIU at Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is favored by 10.5.
I think that's kind of a high favor on Middle Tennessee. I'm not really sure where both these programs are at. I like FIU, but Middle Tennessee's played well at times this year. It's at home for Middle Tennessee, so I'll take Middle Tennessee.
All right. I will also take Middle Tennessee and the points. I think they're going to cover. They're going to beat them up. They didn't like that beatdown they took against Western Kentucky, and I think they want to let loose. That's my thoughts. All right. The other 11 o'clock game, Marshall, the aforementioned, at FAU. That's Florida Atlantic to you folks, where Marshall is a 3.5-point favorite. By the way, the over-under here is 47.
I was kind of surprised that they were only favored by 3. So I think Marshall's starting to get their act together. They played well last week against Southern Miss. I think they're able to run the ball, and their defense will really take care of FAU, and I'm going to go with Marshall.
I'm going to go with Florida Atlantic. I don't think Marshall's played anybody. Florida Atlantic's going to win this one. I'm calling it right now. That's my upset pick of the week. Upset pick of the week. All right. Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State. Mississippi State, 12.5-point favorites.
I'll take Mississippi State. Louisiana Tech kind of played, UTSA played them tough last week. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think they always have weird games together. There's kind of like a budding rivalry there. I know last – well, Kenneth Dixon wasn't there. He likes to throw hands against anybody. And I know – yeah, there's a lot of bad blood going on there apparently. Budding rivalry. All right, the 2:30 game, Charlotte at Old Dominion. Old Dominion, 4.5-point favorites.
I'm going to go with Old Dominion because they're at home.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte's – they're not really they're good. Kind of both, they won 2 games, yeah, but one against Presbyterian. Yeah, they're easily beaten by whoever's out there. It's too bad we don't play them. All right, and the final Conference USA game of the day, UTSA, the aforementioned, at Hattiesburg playing Southern Miss. Southern Miss 8-point favorites tonight at 6 p.m. Who do you got? Oh, they're, sorry, 8-point favorites. 8-point favorites.
I'm going to go with Southern Miss.
I agree. This one's going to be interesting. UTSA's they have a pretty solid defense. And, you know, their offense is okay. I mean, you know, look at these scores here. They had 31 against Louisiana Tech, 32 against Arizona, 3 against Kansas State, 14 against Oklahoma State, 31 against Colorado State. And they beat UTEP, who's not very good, but they only mustered up 25. So I don't really buy the whole UTSA's offense is really good, although they're okay. They're lower in the pack. Obviously, they're better than ours, in case you're a UTSA fan listening and want to just send me hateful emails. not everything is in comparison to our team. So there you go. And I think the biggest game of the day, is that not the Michigan State game?
There's a couple of big ones because you got Alabama, A&M, Florida's playing LSU, Michigan State. So, yeah, there's quite a few.
All right. So I want to pick this this Michigan State game, 2:30. I'm going to say Michigan wins. Michigan's favorite, 6.5. I'm going to say they're going to take that in points.
Just taking the khaki.
Yeah, dude.
The khaki pants, man.
Yeah, that guy's awesome. I've liked Jim Harbaugh like, as a coach ever since he was at San Diego. That's what it was. And, yeah, I've been following him. Like, it'd be kind of sick. I remember Jim Harbaugh when he played for the Colts in, like, 1994.
You've been stalking him.
Yeah.
You know, I like Connor Cook. You know, I think Michigan's playing at a supremely high level. But I think Michigan State's going to get the win. But Connor Cook's my guy, my next Browns quarterback. So I'm going to take me some Connor Cook, and Michigan State's going to take down Big Brother.
Nah, man. Here's why I like Jim Harbaugh. It's the
I
same
don't
reason
care what
that,
you have to
yeah,
say.
Here's the same reason. It's the same reason that I liked Mike Leach in 2000. That everybody else is doing one thing, and they're over here being weird, doing another. And you know, right now, college football is all it's getting pretty hard to distinguish one team from another. Everybody has kooky uniforms. Everybody runs, you know, 4 or 5 wide receivers. Everybody runs tempo, right? Well, here you got this old school throwback playing crazy defense, having 4-hour practices, and, you know, winning with a game plan straight out of, like, 1996, you know? I like it. And he's beating up on teams. You got to love 3 straight shutouts. That is awesome. I mean, I love me some offense. I love me some college football offense. But, I mean, I also love me some defense. And it's nice to see a dominant defense again in college football, you know, outside of, like, Alabama. But Alabama, they don't play defense anymore.
Good for you, old man. Glad that you like old football.
Like I said, I mean, you know, I like all of it. I like it all.
Okay, well,
yeah.
So, you can like whatever you want to like.
So, see what we're going to do, another morning podcast. And I know everybody hates like, oh, you do this podcast and it's all late, you know, whatever. And then by the time I listen to it, you know, it's the game's already over. We'll probably try to keep the podcast next week, the Saturday morning podcast, kind of shorter. So that way, just predictions, what to look for, this, that, and the other. And then do another one Sunday as a recap, kind of like this one. I agree that's probably the better way. And we're just into the populace here, because everybody's like, well, there's not a whole lot of people interested in the Game Day podcast, as you can see, because not a whole lot of people were showing up to the football game at Apogee on Thursday.
I was there.
Yeah. How many people were there? What was the attendance like?
It was probably like 4,000, maybe. The announced was 10, and that was with season ticket holders, so four or five. There was more people there than I thought there would be.
Yeah. Were there a lot of students? Was it students?
The middle three sections were kind of full of students, but they dispersed as the game went along. Drinking matters on a Thursday night.
Yeah, it's college night, dude. It's where everybody has, you know, like rock and rodeo and whatever, all the other places. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're done. We're out of topics when we're just talking about things to do on a Thursday night. Again, Mean Green Nation on Twitter, MGN_breakdown. On Twitter is Mr. Greg Godecker. Y'all go follow him. I see that your follower count is kind of creeping up. It needs to creep up at a higher rate. I mean, like 3-4
yeah,
followers a day.
You know, I'm not a guy that's going to go out there and beg for followers. You know, they'll come to me if I put out good stuff. So.
I'm not. It's good that you don't beg for followers. I'm telling them to follow you because you know they end up having conversations with you anyway, just copying me on it. And I'm like, dude, just follow him over there. Y'all can get all this stuff right away. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. And as always, go Mean Green.